little something here. I won't be long. And I ain't lying to you. I'm not going to be long. You know, I'll preach your tea that and lie to you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not. I'm going to tell you. I'm telling you the truth. I ain't going to be long.
Go ahead.
2 Samuel 23. Talk to you a little bit here tonight. He's over at Todd Nims. I got a little Jack Russell dog, and he nosedived about 16 foot over on the concrete one day. I had him about a year, and I saw him hit the concrete when he dove off over there, and I thought, that's it. And I said, well, he'll be doggone. You're a dead dog. I went over and picked that little Jack Russell up, and he just dead as a doorknob, just lifeless. And I wrapped him in a towel, you know, like you do a shock victim. And I walked around. I'm honest, I was about to cry. Just kind of, you know, you get attached to him, don't you? He lives outside, but I like him real good. And I said, you stupid dog, what'd you jump off there for? I mean, 16-foot nosedive on the concrete, man, you know? But in about a minute or two, he kind of fluttered his eyes and kind of done like his. And next thing I know, he's growling at something else, and he's been revived. He's still... I'm going to get taken back to Alabama with me, and I'm glad. I kind of like him. He loves kids and people, but he don't get along with no animals at all. He whooped their bulldog over there.
Yep.
That's pretty good for little Jack Russell. Weighs less than 10 pounds, ain't it? Before he nosedived off that concrete. That's the end of him, man, though. But I appreciate your kindness, and I've had a real good time. And I was thinking here... In 2 Samuel chapter 23, I'll go through this here with you the best I can tonight. David, Psalmist David, he's probably one of my favorite characters in all the Bible. I've studied him for years, and I like him. And I talked this morning out of Psalms 122 about where he said, I was glad when he said, let's go into the house of the Lord. And when David wrote that, you know, I don't know what he's going through. But here he is, and he's at the end of his life in 2 Samuel 23. If I start calling names, I'll miss some of you, so I won't. But there's a lot of old friends here tonight, and I'm glad to see you. I'm glad you're still in the battle and still in the fight. And we're closer home than we ever have been. I want to go home sweet. I don't want to go home mean and ugly and bitter. I don't want to go home, gossiping or talking about anybody. I want to go home with this, you know, I used to sing that old song, I Want to Die on the Battlefield. Probably some of you have heard me sing it, you know, with glory in my soul. I like to go home sweet and, you know, being a blessing. And here's David at the end of his life. Notice in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 1, he said, now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God.
Amen.
You know, you study David's life, there's one negative thing in the Bible. Just look at it when you get home. Take your concordance and look at it. One negative thing said about David. And all it says is it displeased the Lord about the matter of Uriah the Hittite.
Right.
That's all it says. Said he was a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
I mean, all that, I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But David went from being, you know how they, when he was a little boy, you know, when he killed the lion and the bear, you remember that story?
Yeah.
And you remember how he became, when Saul needed somebody to kill the giant, remember how he stepped out there with a sling and killed that giant? Remember that? And then you remember how that Saul called him when you come over to the palace house. David didn't know much about the palace. He was a shepherd boy.
Yeah.
He got over at the palace, and they said he was a singer of his forefathers' faith. He began to sing. And remember how he said the evil spirits would depart from Saul when he'd sing. You remember that over there in the Samuels? And then Saul got jealous of him, threw the javelin at him, tried to kill him. Remember that?
Yeah.
And David's life is just, if you read it, it's like our life. It just, you know, it just up and, so I was talking to somebody over there about up and down, and that's the way David's life was. But notice how he finishes here with his last words. It's Memorial Day and about a soldier, and that's, you know, and just notice what he's saying here to us. In verse number 4, he said, and he shall be as a light of the morning when the sun riseth, even as morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not sold with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things for and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. You know, David didn't get to build the house, but he got to furnish a lot of the material on that temple. A lot of his friends, if you study that, you'll find that brass, that gold, those cedars of Lebanon, everything that come to build that temple, that was David's friends that sent that material. David had a wonderful part in that, even though he didn't get to build it. And what was, I mean, really, isn't that like we are? I mean, you know, we build upon line upon line, precept upon precept, and, you know, somebody may sow, somebody may water, somebody may come, but all of us are building together, aren't we? And there's no big shots and little shots in the work of God. We're all the same. We're all equals. I mean, God, we're all just children saved by the grace of God and on our way home. David said in verse 6, he said, but the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron, and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. And these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. I guess that's what I want to talk about a little bit, about his mighty men, these men. And if there's ever been a time in our lives, we just need some men and women and some boys and girls that'll just step forward and say, you know, I don't have to have the big spot. I just want to get in. I just want to be a blessing. I just want to be a help. When you look at David's men, study that sometime. They were in debt. They were destitute. He took a bunch of ragtag guys that nobody else didn't want, and they became mighty men in David's work and what he did. Notice some of them here. He said, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had, and I'll just talk about a few of them. These names are hard. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adono the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a guy that even stepped forward with a spear and said, all right, you 800, come on down, I'm ready. Can you imagine? You know, we're about the same shape today. I mean, all the world's against us, everything about the world's against us, and it seems like we're compassed about. But just, you know, just gird your loins with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, get that shield of faith, and just stand and do what we can while we have opportunity. Try to get somebody saved by the grace of God. Verse 9, he said, and after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Aoite, one of the three mighty men with David whom they defied, the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave under the sword. Wouldn't it be good for, you know, none of you ever heard of my mother. She is just a country woman out in a little place called Rockledge, Alabama. But she died with this book right here in her hand. And in her heart. I mean, you know, nobody hardly ever knew who she was, but, you know, she was the one that introduced me to God. She was the one that helped shine the light into my heart. See, you never know. He knew he was going down, but his hand just clave under the sword. Just keep this book in your hand, keep it in your heart, keep it in your mind, and just clave to it. I mean, there's times that nothing else even help, will it? You know, counsel from men are not, they just don't hit the spot. But, you know, you can take this old book and just begin to read it, and it'll just touch your heart and touch your life, and it'll touch others. Said he clave under the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Don't say nothing about, he didn't care nothing about that spoil. The people came behind him and got it. After him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. There was a piece of ground full of lentils. That's just, it's like a bean or a pea, like an English pea or something like that. I've had the soup. I've never had just the lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. Now, this guy, he just stood, I heard an old preacher years ago said, he just stood in his pea patch. and said, bless God, this is it. I ain't going nowhere. I ain't leaving. I planted these peas. I worked this little patch, and I ain't leaving it. He just stood right there and defended it. That's what every mother, I mean, every mom, y'all just get your kids around you and say, I'm gonna defend them. I'm going to love them. And whatever they do, stay with them, love them, help them, and just don't give them up. Just love them anyway. I've got my girls are in their 30s now, and my baby boy, he's 25. And I've heard all kind of stories about children and kids and preachers and different things. But I made my mind up. There's nothing my children's going to do that I want to cast them out for. Nothing my children's going to do that I'm going to cast them away and say that, you know, I'm not going to fellowship them or I'm not going to be with them. You know, when a young'un gets in trouble, they need loving and helping, and don't they? And I know, I mean, we raised 3 children. I know what I'm talking about. But when they have problems, somehow or another, you know, I don't want to say that. It'd be too personal about my family. But whatever my children does, I mean, I love them. And I intend to love them. I intend to stay with them whatever happens. And I want them to know I love them. Furthermore, I'm not ashamed of them. Isn't that way God treats us? You know, sometimes, you know, we'll get ashamed and think, it, you know, that he's mad at us, but he's not. He loves you and cares about you, and he's good to us, isn't it? This old man, this mighty man, he just stood right there in the middle of it, and the Bible said, that ground, and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. The Lord he'll wrought victories with us if we'll just stand. And then when the battle's over, we can say, boy, God did it. Not Brother Danny, not you. God brought the victory. Give him all the glory and all the honor. I'm telling you, I don't have time or breath to tell you all the victories and things he's brought me through. I mean, he's been good. Verse 13, he said, in 3, here's where I want to get to. And 3 of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time under the cave of Adullam. You remember when David had Saul dead to rights there in that cave? I mean, had him. Could have slayed him. Remember when he said, God forbid I touch the Lord's anointed? Remember that? I mean, he had his sword, had his men with him. All he had to do is just thrust him with a sword. David said, God forbid. Remember when Saul found that out? Remember he told David he was a better man than he was? Remember that? You know, sometimes mercy, and I'd say most of the time, mercy's better than wrath. You know, the Bible said the Lord's mercy's new every morning. I looked that up in my concordance. You know how many times mercy's mentioned in your Bible? 365 times. How many days in a year? Every day we live, all we got to do is get up and get us some mercy and just walk on with God. Forget about the past. Enjoy that good mercy. Be thankful for it and just walk on with the good Lord every day. These 3 men, these 3 he's talking about, he said, verse 14, and David was then in a hole, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. These enemy had that Bethlehem, that town surrounded, and there David was in a hole, couldn't go anywhere, Todd, couldn't move, just in a bind, looked like he was going down, nothing could help him. And these 3 mighty men, they gathered around, they loved David. And they said in verse 15, David longed. That word longed, I mean, he desired. He longed for. You know, there's nothing like a good drink of water when you're thirsty, are there? Amen. David said he just longed. And he said this, oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. These men just heard what he said, Roy Lee. They gathered around David there, and David longed, and he said, I would to God. He said, oh, I would give me a drink. Oh, that one would give me to drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. David tasted that water before. He knew that well. He knew that water was cool and refreshing. He is tired and weary. He just said, man, we're in a hole. The enemy's got us. We're hedged up here, can't go anywhere. He said, I just wished I had me a good drink out of that well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Verse 16, these 3 mighty men break through the host. of the Philistines. You know, he didn't send them. They just heard him say he longed for it. They just got together. And they said, did you hear what David said? Look at him over there. He's just dry and barren, and he's about to quit, about to give up. Look at him. I mean, that's that same David that slew a lion and a bear. Same one that killed a giant. Same one that was singing in the palace. The same one that they said that they were singing songs that he'd killed his 10,000s.
Yep.
And there he is, just dried up. Our enemy got him hedged up, nowhere to go. Looks like all hope is gone. And these three men, they get together. And the Bible said in verse 16 that the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines. Now, that's pretty good right there.
Yeah.
I mean, just three of them. I mean, breaking through, I mean, you got an infantry line there. You got archers. You got what they had, homemade artillery. I mean, they've got the high ground. They break through that host of Philistines. And then look what he said they did. And drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. Now, that's why those three men went in there and got that water. That's the kind of man they went to get it for. That's pretty good, ain't it? You know, it ain't hard to follow a woman or a man like that, is it? You know, you can tell they love you so much. I mean, they wouldn't even, I mean, thirsty, dry, barren, sitting on the sideline. I mean, just desired, longing for a drink of that well. And then when they broke through and brought it back to him, he said these men had put their life in jeopardy. Look at verse 17. He said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. That's pretty good, isn't it? I'll read that, and this is my little story, and I'll give you this and stop. But this is, when I see that, this is what I think of. Many, many years ago, 1974, I walked in a little church, and you talk about dry and barren. You talk about hurting, habits, vices that absolutely dominated my life. I mean, sick. If you've ever seen a junkie, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, sick. Somebody said one time, I heard him say, well, he don't work. All he does is just be a junkie. I'm telling you, it's hard work to be a junkie.
Yeah.
Honey, that's hard work. I mean, every day you get up to get your money to give to the man so that you can get that fix and get that feeling so you can even walk and live during that. It's hard work.
Ahead,
I mean, tough work. And
there's
a soul winner came and worked with me, and I didn't really want to hear what he had to say, but finally I did agree to go to church. And I remember sitting, just like this story is, just dry. I mean, I was hedged up. The enemy was all around me. I mean, nobody, it seemed like no man cared for my soul. Looked like all hope was gone. I mean, literally. You ever felt like that? I mean, really, have you ever just felt like, I mean, it's over, there's nothing going to help, it's just everything I touch, it just goes wrong, and there you are, and you're helpless and hopeless. And there I sat that night, and that old preacher, he's in heaven tonight, he got up and preached about living water, and about the Lord Jesus Christ being that water of life, and being able to help somebody like me. I never forget it. I sat right over there where that young man sitting, about right there. I don't know. I mean, that's unusual for a lost man to sit on the front row, isn't it? I didn't know. I just didn't know much about church, so I just came right on in, sit right there on the front row, sit right down. I was the only one there that had hair down on their shoulders. All that little church, all them people looked real, I mean, they looked real good and sharp. I mean, nice. And there I sit. Nobody, you know, I mean, I could tell that wasn't my crowd. I was sitting there just about half Jones and sick. But that old man, he kept looking over here. And he kept talking about that water. He kept saying, if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. And then he kept talking about it. Finally, he said, that water's free. I heard that. I'm telling you, that man I was getting my water from was nothing free, buddy. I mean, you had to pawn, steal, everything to get that water he had. That old preacher said, it's free. It's been paid for. And then last of all, he said, anybody can have it. God Almighty. When he said anybody could have it, son, I was like that little old dog of mine. Boy, my ears perked up. You know, all I gotta do is just pull in the driveway and he'll be here in my car. He'll start singing like a little old squirrel, don't he, Todd? At high pitch. He knows daddy's home, buddy. He knows I'll feed him, water him, take care of him. That old preacher told me, he said, it's free. Said anybody can have it. I looked around and nobody seemed like they wanted it. I kept looking at them. They wasn't 40, 50 people there. I kept waiting on them. I said, well, I'll wait and go last. I'll let them get the water first, you know. And man, ain't nobody moved. Nobody got up. After about 5 or 10 minutes, that old preacher, he walked kind of over to the side of the pulpit in that little church, stretched out to him arms, and he said, wouldn't you come and get that water and accept it tonight? I took about 2 steps from right here and just fell in an old-fashioned altar and just cried out. Somebody said, what'd you say? I didn't know how to pray. I said something like, Lord, if I could have that water, if I could have that, I ain't got nothing to give you, but if I could have that water, I said, I sure am thirsty. Now, I don't know how long it took, but I'm telling you, in a matter of seconds,
yeah.
In a matter of seconds, I mean not minutes, in a matter of seconds, all of a sudden I felt like God had scrubbed me from the inside out.
Yeah.
I mean, like old preacher Potter used to say, honey, where I was dirty, they couldn't no detergent clean it. It's on the inside where I was dirty. And I mean it like he just scrubbed my heart, man, just scrubbed it. In just a matter of seconds, man, I felt like I was just brand new on the inside. Felt good, had peace. They wasn't very much happened. They wasn't very many people spoke to me. That old preacher did. That old preacher was real nice to me. I ended up singing for him for years. Before he died, I'd go when I was young and travel and sing and play for him. But I just felt brand new on the inside. Now listen, now stop. This is it. I'll keep my word. But here's what happened that night. Them boys broke through over and got David that water, didn't they? Remember I told you? That night is what happened. Here's what happened in heaven. I didn't know it till later. But here's what happened. When in my heart I said, I'm thirsty. I'd like to have that water. My 3 mighty men, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, said, we're going to get that boy a drink of water. And God the Father said, son, would you pay the price for him? He said, I'll pay it, Father. I'll pay for his sins. I'll wash him in my blood. I'll give him water that he's never had before. And the Holy Ghost said, well, I'll carry it to him, man. I mean, in a matter of seconds, he brought me that living water. And I'm talking about invisible stuff.
Yep.
I'm talking about faith stuff.
Yep.
I mean, I just had a little childlike trust, Dax. Just a little bit of childlike trust is all I had, son. Just like you, trusting your mom and daddy. And I mean, he gave me that good drink of water, and he cleansed me. And in a matter of just a minute or so, I went back over and sat down, and nobody said very much. But I'm telling you, I felt like a brand new creature on the inside. I went home that night and I was afraid to go to sleep. You say, why? I was afraid that good feeling would be gone. I hadn't ever felt nothing like that. I'd always had a pistol and a knife under my pillow, man. I mean, I was waiting on the police to come in, you know, or somebody else. And I sat there that night and I had that good peace beating in my heart. I didn't put nothing like that under my pillow that night, Bobby. I laid down. I was about to doze off. I sat up and I said, no, I won't go to sleep. And you say, why? Why didn't you want to go to sleep? I was afraid that feeling would be gone. I never had felt that before. I never had that peace. I never had felt clean like that before. I mean, I was brand new. I was perfect. I mean, I'd become a son of God. I mean, I know that now, but I didn't know it back then. I didn't know what save was. All I know, a preacher told me about that water, and I'd asked for it, and I felt like I had it. And I felt good, and I felt clean, and I felt like I was good to go, you know? And I guess 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, that morning, I dozed off. I never forget waking up that morning. And you know how it is. Oh, outlaws, y'all know. You know, you always wake up the next morning and all that night before is gone. You can't feel it no more, and you've spent your money, and you're tired, and you know, all that. But I woke up that morning, though, honey. It's still beating right here. I felt just as good as I did that night before. I mean, I got something that I couldn't get rid of. I got something I don't want to get rid of. I mean, I got something that'll land me safely on the other side. I mean, good stuff, good stuff. Me and old mama's gone now. I sung her song over at night. I was thinking about her. She loved that song, Peace, Peace. Before she died, she'd say, Danny, sang that song about that peace again. I came in that night. I told mama, open that door there at the home place. I was living at home. I'd squandered everything I had. And she opened the door. She'd been praying. Good old saint. She opened that door. And I could see it in her eyes. She was waiting to see what happened that night at the church. I looked at her and tears began to flow. I said, Mom, I got it fixed tonight. Got that water. Son, she grabbed me. I never heard Mama. Mama wasn't a real shatter or nothing. She kind of weep a little and testify. Son, me and her grabbed each other and danced around that kitchen before I even knew what dancing was, buddy. I mean, we just swung around there in that old kitchen. She cried and wiped her face with that apron. And then I went on like I told you, waited on that peace to leave. But I want to tell you something. It ain't never left.
Amen.
I thought it had, but it ain't never left. I thought it would leave. But it ain't, I mean, we're good to go. Honey, we good to go. If you got faith and grace of God, you good to go. You ain't gonna wash it off. You can't run him off. You can't make him leave. If you didn't want to go to heaven, you shouldn't have got saved, because you're going now. And I just wanted to brag a minute on my 3 mighty men. I appreciate what they did. And I'm going to tell you tonight, you may be there thirsty. You may be lost, or you may be saved, but you may just be thirsty. But I'm going to tell you, there's some good drinking water here tonight. If you just have muster up, or just let a little faith bubble up in your heart. You know that faith, that substance of things, what is it? Faith, substance of things, hope for, but that's things not yet seen. If you just let that little faith just bubble up a little and just take a little faith step forward, you can get your name. You say, Brother Dan, how many times have you had a good drink of water? A bunch of times.
Yes, sir.
I mean, a bunch of times. As older we get, the more storms we face, ain't it? As the lady comes to the piano, I want to ask you something. Maybe you're just in a storm. Maybe in a valley. Maybe you're in a place where you think nobody don't care. He cares. He cares. I'm going to tell you, he ain't never left me. I've laid in a bed full of covers up and said this, you know, I wouldn't answer the phone, just laid depressed. Just days, people just afraid that he ain't gonna make it. You know who got that bed with me? I ain't kidding. Son, you look over and I'm telling you, I'm talking about invisible things now, invisible things. But I'm telling you, that good comforter and that good peace is right there. I mean, he never left me. He never has. He's with me now. He's with you, man. He loves you. That's a good father, ain't it?
Sure.
I ain't talking about me. I'm talking about him.
Right.
I'm talking about these three mighty men that gave me that drink of water. And it'll give you a drink, give us all a drink. Maybe tonight you say, well, I'd just like to have a little sip again. I'm just discouraged. I mean, maybe I'm just, you say, well, I don't think I can be one of those mighty men. Oh, yes, you can. You already are. You're just being still. We need women and men, boys and girls in these days that'll help get that water to us. Let's carry some water. You know, remember what he said about if you give a cup of water in my name? Remember that? We just need some folks that are just some men and women that'll say, hey, I don't have to have no pat on the back. I don't have to have no recognition. I don't have to have a religious position of some kind. I just want to help some little sinner, some little boy or girl, some man or woman. I mean, you know, we've all got children we need to pray for and help, don't we? Neighbors, people we work with. If we're not careful, we forget about that good drink of water we got and we's in bad shape, don't we? Maybe somebody, let me ask you something. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and I'm finished. You'd like to come tonight, maybe a good way to close out this holiday. Just say, Lord, I want to thank you for that good drink of water you give me. Remember how we first got saved, how we'd want to help somebody? I'm telling you, we need that in these days. I can't tell you, and I know you all face the same thing up here. I'm hundreds of sinners I talk to. I mean, they don't have a clue. They've been hurt. They've been discouraged. I mean, they're letting things bother them to keep them from just being a blessing. Whatever it is, for the love of God tonight, why don't you just come give it to him? Why don't you just come and say, God, you're good, and I know it's all right, and I know you're enough. And I just by faith, you don't have to be this or that, but just by faith, just take that step. Say, Lord, make my life effective in these days to come. Boy, what a place y'all got here. I mean, just a blessing to see what the Lord's done. I stayed in that little precious home over there this week with those kids. Man and his wife, just a blessing, wanting to be a blessing. Some of the rest of you, just, I mean, what an opportunity. What an opportunity if we just let him work through us a little bit. It's amazing. I mean, little as much of God is in it. I mean, that guy that touched me, he just an ordinary guy. I mean, just a little man, just a little woman that speak that word, that little fit word, just in the right place. Father, I pray tonight that you just touch somebody's heart, somebody's life. Help us now, Lord, in this hour. Bless Brother Danny and his work. Lord, bless these families and these kids. I pray, Lord, you take these stammering words and make them a blessing, make them help somebody. Lord, let us be a blessing every day to somebody, regardless who they are, whatever shape they're in. And we'll thank you and bless you for all that you do. Amen. God bless you.